No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again, after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please!
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you are sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Hello and welcome to the MMQB NFL Podcast. I'm Connor Rohr. I've got Mitch Goldich here. I've got Albert Breer here. And guys, we are super close to the start of the regular season, and I just realized I don't have a favorite football team. And I don't know what to do. So that's what we're doing today. And before I bring everybody in, just a little bit of a backstory. I grew up a Cleveland Browns fan. I had nothing until about age seven. And then I realized that my family didn't have a favorite football team. And I thought, okay, I grew up in northeastern Pennsylvania, hated the Eagles because everybody liked the Eagles. And the Steelers seemed kind of gross to me because every person that I knew that was a Steelers fan had a very dirty starter jacket, Steelers starter jacket. So that was just like an aesthetic that wasn't pleasing to me. So the Steelers were out. So I said, I'm going to pick the next football team that comes to be. And that was the 1999 Cleveland Browns. Thus began a medium-length marriage between me and one of the most maligned franchises in sports. Abusive relationship, one could say. Yeah. And then obviously the events of last March have made me a free agent. Thanks to my former co-host, Jenny Vrentis, we as a family have just formally adopted the U.S. Women's National Team as the team of the Orr House. But everyone's asking, the kids are like, well, who are we rooting for? What's going on here? Very brief stint with the Jets, but then I think due to circumstances out of my control, and I think just they're overloading right now, and we'll get into that. But so the Jets are out. We're at a point now where Mitch, Albert, I don't know who else I would bring in to help me with such a big job.
Yeah, glad to be here. I appreciate that you walked us through how you became a Browns fan in the first place, because I have been wondering that. You and I have known each other for a long time now, and we've talked about, I thought, just about everything, and somehow I had never actually heard the story of how you became a Browns fan, but I wanted to hear what last year was like, because that was your first season as sort of an unaffiliated, a free agent. I guess maybe that was, you flirted with Jets fandom last year, but what was your first season like without the Browns?
Really nice. I thought it was very comfortable. I enjoy floating in the ether. And I would say, too, as part of our jobs in the football watching universe, right, we're not supposed to be fans. But I do think that we've caught up to this area where I think we can genuinely love and appreciate a team while also covering them ethically and in a way that's morally justifiable. And so it was nice just not dealing with the constant LOL Browns thing, the fact that they've become like a cold-blooded McKinsey murderous franchise is good. You know, I don't have to worry about them anymore. They're just completely off the map. And so let me take another stab at that description. 3, 2, 1. the fact that they've Browns have pivoted from like lovable loser, which was such a fun part of it for me. I liked being a part of that. And, you know, when they won that playoff game, who was the special teams coach that coached that game? Because Kevin Stefanski had COVID.
Mike Prefer.
Mike Prefer. Like, he was crying. He was from Ohio. And I was sitting there, I was writing about it that night, but you're getting a little choked up and you're like, yeah, Mike, like, all right, I get it. I was along for this ride. And then we completely changed from like the Cleveland Browns, who we all love, to like the Astros. And I was like, oh, this is very scary. I don't like this team anymore. The fans became unrecognizable to me. And so, but the season without being a fan was nice, but I'm ready to jump back in because being a fan of just your fantasy football team has its own complications.
I think I can add to this too, because I grew up in an era in Boston where people won't admit it now. No one liked the Patriots, and everybody was out on the Patriots. So I was born in 1980. So like 88, 89, 90, 91. Those were like before Parcells got there, were like the dark ages for Patriots football. So as we were all as kids learning to love watching sports on TV, everyone was attached to the Red Sox and the Celtics and the Bruins. But the Patriots were so embarrassing at that point that no one wanted to be associated with them. So when I was in middle school, and I'm not even kidding about this, like kids basically picked their teams based on who had the coolest starter jackets. So you had like Cowboys fans and Raiders fans, and like whoever's team looked the coolest in starter jackets was sort of the team you went with. So I think I've got good context here on how these sorts of things can happen where people can kind of pick their teams because there's nobody out there for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Connor, we're going to have you run through all 32 teams, and I suggested that you break them down into categories, the teams that you just never would consider in a million years, and then sort of that second tier maybes, and then give us some finalists, and we can run through the pros and cons. But before we get to the actual teams, can you just tell us what are the criteria that you're looking at? What's important to you as you make this decision? Because I don't want to just make it for the general person out there who's picking a team. I want to pick the right team for Connor Orr. So it helps to know, Connor, what you are looking for in a franchise.
I think exciting young star player.
This is like a Match.com. Like
it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Here we go.
But in a way, right, it's sort of like Bumble, where it's not a mutual thing. It's like the team has to impress me and then I engage.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So in this sense, I'm the girl on Bumble, which, you know, great. I want a player who has staying power. So some sort of a young, ideally a kind of a young franchise quarterback type, not a must. Proximity to my New Jersey home would be nice. Or if it's one of these things where I can get to them very easily, if it's an easy travel, a fun drive for the family, a nice place to be. I would say relatively wholesome. I'm guessing in the NFL, this is going to be a tough sell at some point.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. So I think every club's going to have its skeletons in the closet, and just nothing that, and Mitch and Albert, I think you guys know me better than anyone else. I'm among the pettiest human beings on the face of the earth. So the most important criteria is just nothing that scratches an itch from deep in my past that would legitimately upset me in any way. So that right off the bat disqualifies about half of the NFL. So,
I totally respect a grudge held. So that last one's good.
Of course. So I wrote down franchise QB. Proximity is nice, but not a must. A sort of a general wholesome element, and no Connor related baggage.
That's perfect.
And I'm sure we'll find others. I'm sure we're going to talk about franchise history and aesthetics. And I'm sure a lot of other
uniforms
stuff will come up as we talk about it.
So uniforms is good, and I'm glad you brought that up, Mitch. So I think the one really critical thing here is entry point, right? I know I'm coming in late, and so there's a lot of issues with a Johnny-come-lately sort of attitude to fan base. Like,
you don't want to be jumping on the like Lakers or the Cowboys or the Yankees bandwagon, is what you're saying. You don't want to be LeBron.
Like 5 years ago, I had a relative who I love became a dyed-in-the-wool Patriots and Alabama fan. And I was like, when did this happen? Like, we live in northeastern, you know, the northeastern part of the United States and nowhere near the, you know. But anyway.
They just love Bill O'Brien.
They just love greatness. And that's fine. That's, you know, if you come out and you say it. You know, I had another acquaintance from high school who flipped from the Dolphins to the Patriots because during the sort of political climate, he thought that wearing a Patriots colors would also align with his political views. So there's a lot of weird flipping and flopping here. But entry point is a big deal for me because I don't want to look like I'm late to the party. And I think I want to have a good reason for getting in now, which is why some of these are kind of going to be complex a little bit.
Okay. I love it. I think we have a great set of ground rules. I think I know exactly where your head's at. Do you want to run us through first the teams that you just said no way to right away?
Yeah. And I in a very handy fashion, shared this with you guys on Google Docs. You guys are getting a first look here at the teams who I would never consider. And we'll go through these quickly. And why don't you guys just stop me if you need any more clarification? I'll just do a quick line on each of these. Number one is the Bills. I have nothing against upstate New York, Western New York. I love the people there. I love the place. It's just not my time. The Bills are going through a time where Bills Mafia is a big thing and everybody loves each other and they're their own separate part of the NFL universe. I'm not going to try to get in there. That's like, that would be like if the Backstreet Boys added an extra guy in 1999, he would stick out like a sore thumb. I would. Not going to happen for me. The Broncos, just not for me. Not for me. Too far away. I don't believe in, some people don't believe in climate change. I don't believe in high climate, high altitude climate. So that right off the bat is off. And, I thought they fired a pretty good football coach last year. So I'm done with the Broncos. The Browns are obvious. We don't need any. And Mitch, by the way, I alphabetized this for you. I hope you like that.
I do like it. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, no problem. I know Mitch likes a good alphabet tie. Browns are obvious, unless they start.
The Browns are the reason we're here.
Yes. Unless, what's the quarterback's name from UCLA, the fifth rounder, Dorian
Thompson-Robinson?
If they start Dorian Thompson-Robinson this season, week one, I'm right back in, baby, because then that plugs me right back in with my Chip Kelly past, and then we have a lot of good Brown stuff to go off of. But yeah, Browns are out. Buccaneers... I lost a lot of respect for them when they did the all in with Tom Brady thing, and the uniforms are dumb, and have been for a while. I know they're going creamsicle once or twice this year, but I just feel like it's sort of a blah nothing franchise in a blah nothing part of Florida. So I just you know, no offense to former editor Bette Marston, who really says very glowing things about the metropolis that is Tampa Bay. But anywho, Cardinals, can't root for a team that charges its players for meals in a take-home box.
Among other things.
Among other things, yeah. I wonder what the vending machine prices are at the Cardinals facility. They're probably like, you know how some places are still like 99 cents for an Arizona iced tea? I bet the Cardinals are like $1.25, you know?
Just that's, so you have to like be... So you have to dig the quarter out of your pocket just so you can't get out of there clean with just the dollar.
Exactly.
Connor, you said Arizona. Just to be clear, it's Arifona. We officially renamed them. You did this offseason. I want that to stick, and I want you to get the credit for coining it. Arifona spelled with three Fs.
Three, and just for those of you guys who don't know, Arizona was the only team who got three Fs on the NFLPA player satisfaction survey. You would have thought it would have been impossible to beat the Commanders, and yet here we are. Next on my list is the Chargers. I debated this one. I think it's a good time to get in on Chargers. It's a nascent fan base kind of in LA at this point. I like young, dynamic coach, but I just feel like it's going to be impossible for me to make it out there for a Chargers game. So Chargers and Rams, same. The Cowboys... Cowboys are a historical fan base, or they are comprised of like my friends from high school who all bought Emmitt Smith jerseys, right, and became Cowboys fans. I feel like you had to become a Cowboys fan in like the 1996-ish mm-hmm. time period, or else bus is too late.
Yeah, Eagles, I mean, you're not also a Yankees and Bulls fan, so, you know.
Correct.
You also skipped over the Chiefs, but I think that's obvious, right?
Chiefs are obvious. This is not my time. Just like the Bills, this is their time. Not a fair one there. Eagles, it would be, fun fact, Mitch, I actually tried first to become an Eagles fan before I became a Browns fan. It was a very brief attempt because some of my best friends were Eagles fans, but they would talk to me like I was a lower class of Eagles fan. Even though I was getting up, I was reading the newspaper, I was up on Eagles facts, but they were just like, hey, we've been Eagles fans for 8 years. You're not part of this. And, you know, I don't want to be a part of the, you know, Mitch is big into the violent pregame subculture of horse punching and cursing and foul language.
Let me ask you this, though. Wouldn't it be better? Would it be good for your kids for you to pick the Eagles just because of all the connections to where you're from and like your friends, and it's close enough geographically where they'll probably go to school with some people who root for the Eagles? Like, I feel like if you wanted to make this not about you and you wanted to be selfless and have this be about your kids, maybe the Eagles would be an interesting pick. Just saying.
That's a great point. And we did not disclose at the top. For those who don't know, I am an Eagles fan. I am wearing an Eagles hat right now, which I did not plan out on purpose. That is a good argument. Doing it for the kids. It would be different if the Eagles had won the Super Bowl last year, but coming off of a loss, you know, and you did say like young franchise, your first two bullet points were young franchise QB and proximity to your house.
I just say from my own experience, when I was really young, I have no connections to the Boston area beyond having been born here and growing up here. My family's all from other places. And so my dad got me into Detroit's teams when I was really little. So I was rooting for the Tigers and the Pistons and the Red Wings and the Lions. And so I do think that there's a little something there, Connor, like where that made me feel connected to my roots, you know, when I was really young. So maybe could be a plus for your kids.
All right, Mitch, let's knock that up into the maybe column, because I'm here to have my mind changed. I really am. This is an objective experience.
We will move them. I'm going to put them at the bottom of the maybes.
Okay.
And we can discuss that later. I will shield my eyes so I don't see the other teams in the maybe column. I want it to be a little bit of a surprise to me, but I put them in the bottom. It would be funny if this exercise ended with me trying to convince you to be an Eagles fan, but I can get into my feelings about bandwagon fandom, not bandwagon, but the come latelys and what it's like when your team is successful and someone hops on. I can get into that in the when we get to the maybe section.
Yeah, I think that's a valuable perspective. So let's just round out the list here. Jets, as we mentioned, let's call them extenuating circumstances, plus the Dalvin Cook signing. Not really something that sits well on the belly. And I just think they're too, it's too big now. It's become too catastrophic.
It's another one where you're jumping on the moving train.
You're jumping on a bullet train at this point, right? Yeah. And, you know, I would have loved to have a team, like, let's say the Jets never got Aaron Rodgers and they were kind of just plugging it out with Zach Wilson. I think that was the obvious answer for me, right? Homegrown talent, no success yet, but everything got microwaved to the point where it was almost like AMC stock, right? I didn't buy in, and now all of a sudden we're at the point where there's no returns. So Jets are off. Rams, like Chargers, you mentioned, just going to be hard to get a game out there. And I don't really get any kind of warm and fuzzies. They're kind of a transient fan base at this point. Saints, I know this is going to be an anti-Albert take, and I'm probably going to get you a little fired up here. Not a New Orleans fan. Just the city, the area.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even know that was possible. How does anybody not like New Orleans?
I don't like it. I don't like the weather. The food is too salty and fatty. I went to Café Du Monde, and I have better beignets up here in New Jersey. So
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Damn.
I might have to withdraw from this podcast.
Some of these other teams, you've gone out of your way to be like, no, I don't want to offend anyone who's listening. New Orleans,
and then New Orleans is like, screw you guys. Yeah, yeah. If we're gonna clip a segment of this to put on social media, maybe me just blindly clubbing the Saints is where we're at.
They're gonna call out the red carpet for you to come when you cover Super Bowl 59. You're not gonna be welcome.
You know what? I went down there a couple times in 2000. It was the year that they lost on the Phantom holding call. And I just like I gave it a shot. I really did. I did the whole real deal thing. Like I had the andouille sausage and I Googled like all the real places to eat there. And not just the places that Guy Fieri went. And I went there, too, because Guy Fieri's the best. But I really immersed myself in it. And I just didn't like it. Not for me.
That game is so famous because of the blown pass interference call. And of course, because we're in this weird world where we remember the things we worked on that day. My enduring memory of that game is that in the first half, Connor, you interviewed the whistle man.
I did.
We had that. Everyone was watching on TV. Where is that whistle coming from? And we had a story up before the game was over. Connor exclusive talking to whistle man.
I talked to whistle man. And not only did I talk to whistle man, but we both, Whistleman and I, both figured out we were Grateful Dead fans. I was wearing my Grateful Dead hat, and he had just got back from playing in the sand. He went to go see them in Riviera Maya in Mexico. So Whistleman and I are still like this, baby.
I feel like I have different levels of appreciation for New Orleans, so maybe you need to keep going back, because it was like when I went when I was a freshman in college to Mardi Gras. That was incredible. That was like a sensory overload, you know? And then you go and you spend time in the quarter and you go enough times and it's like, okay, this is getting a little old, or I'm getting a little old for this. And then I started going to other parts of the city where the locals go and I got a whole new appreciation for it. So I went to like Jackson Square. There's this bar there called the R Bar that's like, I mean, legitimately one of the best bars I've ever gone to, just for how authentic it is and how you really feel like you're in the city that you're in. Rather than, you know, being in some place where, and I loved these places when I was younger, place where like, you know, your foot sticks to the ground because it's been puked on 12 times that night, you know? So like, I feel like there's an appreciation I have of New Orleans that's very nuanced, which is why I'm offended by your take.
I like getting on, you know, cities can't get too comfortable. And I'm just saying New Orleans has got this thing where I think that they're entrenched as a top American city. And I'm just saying, don't get too comfortable. Keep improving. Okay. That's all I'm saying. Keep improving. Steelers, like I said, just a lot of dirty starter jackets in middle school. And I can't get past that. There was like three kids who were Steelers fans and they just wore like the starter jacket. And it was just like
See, where you grew up, were there Steeler fans? Was it half Steelers, half Eagles, or was it?
It was half Steelers, half Eagles. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I thought Steelers were on there because they were a rival of the Browns. And maybe there was an ingrained hatred of them. But
no, I really could see it if I could get past that just aesthetic from my grade school days. I think the Steelers, a lot of stuff would fit pretty well. I mean, Kenny Pickett, I think, is going to be around there for a while. Mike Tomlin, there's a lot of good there. I could drive my kids out there, but... you know, I haven't heard a good case for really getting on board with them. And maybe by the time my kids come to awareness in football, they're both very young, then, you know, maybe Mike Tomlin won't be there and I won't know who's there. Maybe Bill Cowher will be back. I don't know. But
that's another one, too. They've won six Super Bowls. So that's one where it's hard. You hop on there and the real fans have been there forever and have been through all those championships and multiple eras of champions. To hop on them now feels... You know, like you missed the boat.
Exactly. And then the last one, Texans. It's just a nothing franchise. It is a Madden creative franchise, generic franchise. It's a generic name. It's a generic uniform. It's a generic history. There is nothing there that grabs me and says,
"Wow." It's amazing too. I mean, that's where I think like the D'Amico hire could make a difference because he played there, because he's actually got history there. And so like maybe there's something they can develop there, but you're right. I mean, I can remember the Oilers, like the Astrodome was like one of the hardest places to play in the NFL, like legitimately like feared. and like they were always pretty good in the 80s and 90s. And I just, like, whatever that was, somehow the league couldn't recap. Like, it was easy to do in Cleveland, right? Like, to recapture what the Browns were before because they're so ingrained there. But you would think in Texas, like, they would be able to tap into what the Oilers were. And for one reason or another, they just haven't been able to do it.
I remember one kid in my high school was like, oh, I'm all in on the Texans. And, you know, just watching him walk around in a Matt Schaub jersey was just so weird. And I was just like, you know, is this what you want out of your life? This is what you want to be doing with your Sundays? Because
you just made me feel ancient that there were Matt Schaub jerseys when you were in high school.
Just think about it, right? If you're that desperate to stand out, then you should have just been one of the kids that started early on the Premier League and just pretended you like soccer, because you're not living in Scranton, Pennsylvania. You're not a Texans fan. You're just not. You're not from Texas. The team sucks. And there's just nothing there. And so you're walking around in this Matt Schaub jersey, and it just was depressing to me. And so I can't shake that image in my head. So
cool logo, though. I do like that.
So much more with it, you know?
I feel like their logo, if they'd been able to establish again like what the Oilers had there, because I remember when their logo came out, I was like, that is the coolest freaking logo. I was in college then when they were an expansion team. And I felt like their logo was like, that is such a cool logo. They did such a good job with it. And then I think everything that's happened on the field's kind of ruined it.
The Texans logo looks like if the Patriots were like a Blackwater security organization and then one of their associates started an offshoot of that just in the South, it looks like they just rearranged the New England Patriot into the shape of Texas. And so
are you a fan of the Flying Elvis?
It's like
the Flying Elvis is great because like that sideburn is such a relic of the early 90s. You know what I mean? Like that sideburn's like from like the Nirvana era. Like so that little sideburn on Pat Patriot, on the new age Pat Patriot, is like, it's just, it tells you what era that was from when lots of people had sideburns.
But it's like a Picasso painting where if you took the Patriots logo apart, you could piece it together with Texans. And red, white, and blue, just get over it. We all love it. It's a great color combination. Like 1776, I'm all on board with this. But I think if the Texans really wanted to get me on board, you reboot and you go like full NWO, black and red, something that really grabs me and appeals to my personal sensibilities. So Texans, you're going to have some work to do. Not interested. Moving on. That's what I would say.
Okay. So now we're on to the maybes.
So that was our lightning round.
Yeah.
You've knocked out 14. No, I guess 13, because we promoted the Eagles into your maybes. So we've got 13 teams down. And now, 10. I think I feel pretty good about all of those. No other teams that I'm going to put up a strong fight for. I think I'm glad the Eagles got promoted to the maybes. I think otherwise some very defensible choices.
All right. So now that you guys have the list in front of me, do you want me to read my list of maybes? And then do you want to raise some points here? Do you want to
grill
me? I
think that makes sense. I don't think we need to go through like why they're maybes. Like, so I think maybe if you just read them off and then me and Mitch can start picking off teams that we think have a good case. What do you think, Mitch?
Works for me.
All right.
So let's start with the 49ers. I like the 49ers. Fun franchise. Very cool. Deep roster. The coaching staff's going to be there for a while. We found our guy in Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy could be a fun thing for the kids. I think they would like that. Going out for a trip to San Francisco would be nice. Anyway, 49ers number one, Bears, Commanders, ? I don't know. New ownership, potentially close to the family. Dolphins, Miami's an easy flight, and who doesn't like going to Miami? The Giants, who are in my backyard here in New Jersey, the Jaguars, the Lions, the Packers, the Vikings, and now Mitch's Eagles.
I'm going to make a case for the Commanders.
Okay, hit me.
I think it's like almost the equivalent of an expansion team now. New ownership. It could work. It might not work this year. If it doesn't, you're going to have a new coach. potentially a franchise quarterback coming in next year if they don't get better. And then, like, they, I know it's not a quarterback, but like, they have some guys that are probably going to be around for a while, you know, like Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, that defensive line, you know, Chase Young, Montez Sweat, Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen. Like, again, these aren't quarterbacks, but like, I feel like there's like, this is like getting on the train as it's leaving the station. You know what I mean?
If they were to, they got to change the name again.
So the name's the problem. Okay. Yeah, I don't like the uniforms are weird too.
The uniforms are weird. And I've actually gotten a pretty good groundswell on this. The reason that I had them as a question mark as a maybe was because it just looks like they're wearing the salute to service gear all year. And it is, I've gotten military takes on this. Military people don't like it either. They don't like the commander's uniforms because they're like, that's us. We do that. They don't, you know.
I've started to become of the opinion that they should have just gone with Washington Football Team or Washington Football Club.
No, man, you pay for the Red Wolves. You pay for the Red Wolves and you make your uniform the one that that guy did on Reddit. You just copy the whole thing. All these guys bring in all these executives and all this branding, and they spend all this money and this time and this effort to create something that is absolutely categorically ridiculous. And like, there's a guy on Reddit where if you just DM'd him and you were like, can I just buy this for $10,000 from you, like random graphic designer man, what would he have said? Of course.
I just don't like understand how Nike made both the Chargers' new uniforms, which I think are fantastic.
Excellent.
And the Jets, which I think are such a downgrade over everything else they've worn before.
Yeah. Talk about...
Like, how is that possible that the same company made both those sets?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Go back to Puma NFL.
Connor, all right, Mitch, you gotta... I think Washington is a weird choice. I see what Albert's saying, that it's like an expansion team, but I think it's impossible to separate from the history of the team. And I think there is going to be sort of this shared feeling of the people, like when that team eventually gets good again, there will be this shared community feeling of, hey, we were the people who were here all along. And because it wasn't just that they lost, it was the way they were really laughing stocks and just examples of so many things that are wrong. And so I think it's a tough time to hop on that team.
That was the Patriots, though. Like, that's how I describe the Patriots. That's not what they were when I was growing up. They had the sexual, you know, or the sexual harassment scandal. Like, I don't know if you guys know about that, but like, there was like a Boston Herald reporter that was harassed in a locker room. There were all of these things that were wrong with that franchise, like in the late 80s and early 90s, and they got new ownership and turned the corner, which is why Robert Kraft's up for the Hall of Fame, you know? I don't know, like, you know what the other question I have here too, Connor, is do you view like a brand being a historic brand where the fans go back like 4 and 5 generations as a plus or a minus? Because this is like that moving train argument too. You know what I mean? Like that you said with the Steelers, like, so I like, I'm based on your criteria, I'm not quite sure where to put like the Giants and Bears, where those are like fan bases that go back generations and generations. And so you'd be sort of, would you view that as like, oh, it's really cool to root for one of those teams? Or would you be, would you view that as I'm infringing in something that's been established for so long, I'm not a part of that?
Packers, you know, are, Packers are on this list too. Giants, Bears, Packers are all that way.
Packers there too.
So they're all on this list because of entry point. I think it's an okay time to get on the train right now because they're not great. They're good at best. And I can pretend to be a Giants fan. I have masqueraded in public as a Giants fan before. I've pulled it off. And all you have to do to be a Giants fan is you have to just talk about how you guys do everything better than everyone else, right? And so, and then just have a blind loyalty towards Eli Manning as a half-decent...
And carry yourself as if you're the classiest person in the room at all times.
And pretend that you didn't constantly talk shit about Tom Coughlin, because now Tom Coughlin is revered. And I remember all of you guys complaining about it. And anyway, I can pull that off. I've pulled it off before. I have gear for both local teams, because there has been situations in my life where I've had to go out to outings and it just felt easier for me to be enmeshed.
Tom Coughlin, the only coach in NFL history to get fired and then be seen on the company treadmill a couple months later.
Hey man.
As his replacement walks by in the morning.
Gotta keep logging those miles.
Yeah.
Connor, how important is the coach to you in this? And part of why I ask is because you mentioned like a trial period with the Eagles in 1999, and that would have been a great time to hop on board because that's right at the start of Andy Reid, Donovan McNabb. I know it didn't end in a Super Bowl, but those are some really fun years, I can say. As an Eagles fan, they were in the NFC title game all 4 years I was in high school, and it was a good time to get in on the Andy Reid train early. So I'm looking at some of these teams with young, interesting coaches. I mean, Mike McDaniel is sort of number one on my list here because I think the Dolphins are sort of sneaky, intriguing, even though they, you know, I mean, depending on how you feel about whether Tua is going to be there long term compared to, like, you know, I don't want to insult Tua, but compared to, say, Trevor Lawrence, who's in this category where I think you look at Trevor Lawrence and say, OK, he's going to be there a long time. But some of those teams, I mean, Dable, I think, is a good reason to pick the Giants. But, you know, Dolphins, Giants, Niners, how important is coaching to you?
Coaching is very important, and it's interesting. Like, Mike McDaniel is too cool, I think, for me. I think a lot of people are already, and I will say, as someone who reports on the coaching industry, Mike McDaniel's been on my coaching list since 2017, maybe 18. You can look it up. I'm saying all this stuff, but now he's become too cool. I think he's too popular.
Well, I feel like I was in on the Mike McDaniel really early too. So we're kind of like, you know what you don't want to be, Connor, is like the fan of the indie band who abandons them when they become popular.
Which that's
I
the thing.
I feel like that might be what's happening here.
That's the thing.
Because you can rub it in people's faces. Hey, I had this first, which I will say I have absolutely done with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Because hopefully you guys remember, I've said this a million times, but his first year as a starter, I picked them to win the Super Bowl in our staff picks. And I said, oh, the easiest way to win a Super Bowl is having a kick-ass young quarterback on a rookie deal. And I think the Chiefs have it. And there is a Chiefs blog that made fun of me. And unfortunately, I wanted to be the only one on the Chiefs. Robert Klemko also picked them. And they wrote like a blog post that was like, can you believe two Sports Illustrated writers picked the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl? But I will say, even before that, I was laughed at. There was an SI Fantasy Football League, his rookie season, where we did the draft in the office, sitting around a big conference table, and I picked him as a rookie, even though everyone knew he was going to be behind Alex Smith, and I was like, no, I want this guy in case he sees the field his rookie season, and I have been telling everyone for, what, 6-7 years now that I was on Patrick Mahomes first.
You know, the more we workshop this, the more I think there's a team in this group of 10 that fits the criteria. The Vikings.
Mm. Well, so, let me finish the coaching point first, because I think there's one thing that disqualifies McDaniel, LaFleur, O'Connell. I'm weary of like the hot young guy. I don't know if I like that. I like, as a coach, like an outlier in appearance, like a like someone who's either very old, not in great shape, like looks battle hardened. There's something to that for me because,
well, Vic Fangio is Mike McDaniel's defensive coordinator.
Now, Vic Fangio is still the head coach of the Broncos. We'd have, and Vic and I are from Scranton. That would have been a very, well, Vic is from Dunmore. I'm from Scranton. Let me, because he'll correct you when you say that. But, that would have been an obvious one. But you get rid of Vic Fangio, you get rid of me as a franchise. So, but Vikings are good. But again, it's
here's
like,
what I like. So what I like about them, so the wholesome part, like Kirk Cousins has got that covered. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, right, like I do think like the way they treated their play, like one thing that was very noticeable to me was the way they handled all their outgoing players this year. And if you go back and you look, like Dalvin Cook, Patrick Peterson, Eric Kendricks, all of these guys, Adam Thielen, all these guys, Dalvin Cook, all these guys they offloaded, none of them have anything bad to say about the Vikings because of the way they handled those guys on the way out. And then what you have remaining is maybe the most exciting young player in the game in Justin Jefferson, right? Proximity to New Jersey, that's an easy flight. It's a Delta hub, so you have, like, you can get there really, really easily in probably like an hour and a half, 2 hours. I feel like the young core there is good. they're very forward thinking with Kwesi Adofo-Mensah as their GM, who's kind of like a good merger between analytics and scouting. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot there. I mean, I just think that, and I don't think that they're at the level of like the Bears or the Giants where it's like, all right, like that's a hit. That's a team that like has, it's hard to just join that established fan base. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they're like maybe a notch below that.
And they're Minnesota nice. They would let me in. My problem is I feel like as my kids get older, I need the head coach to be older than me. Because, like, I think Kevin O'Connell and I are pretty close to the same age. We're in the same NFL locker room together when I was a young beat reporter and he was
I covered him too.
The third string backup quarterback. Yeah. And so I think like I would imagine like maybe one day my kids being like, oh, the head coach of the Vikings is 40. Why aren't you doing anything cool, Dad? You're 40. So that's just something that's kind of on the back of my radar. But I do support moving the Vikings up to a hot team potentially.
I like that they're a little earlier in the cycle, because it would be a little strange to, I think the Jaguars are a very appealing pick. It would be strange to become a Jaguars fan and then for the rest of your life people say, oh, how'd you become a Jaguars fan? And you say, well, it was Trevor Lawrence's third season and they had already proven they could win a playoff game. And I said, now's a good time for me to hop on the Jacksonville bandwagon.
Jacksonville just feels like, I don't know, it's like too obvious.
Too obvious.
That's how I feel about Detroit, too, which is in this category we haven't even talked about.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Detroit's too obvious. And part of this is going to be, you know, I want a fan base that handles success well. I think on this list, a lot of teams that got punished are teams whose fans, when they achieve sudden success, just collectively become like the largest group of douchebags on the planet. And
you know, is that how you feel about Eagles fans?
I was going to say, that sounds like a hell of a lot of people would describe Patriots fans.
What I like about Eagles fans, I will say this, you're getting dangerously close to early Bill Simmons era Boston and Boston Red Sox, Boston Celtics, where you're making it a lot about you, and I think you are overrating the struggle. That's what I would say. And there's a very theatrical element to all that we had to go through in the empty stadiums at the Link. And it was
the fellowship. What we called it up here was right before the championships started here, they called it the Fellowship of the Miserable up here.
But it's theater, right? It's acting.
Some of it is. Like, yeah. I mean, like the whole like going to your, you know, great grandfather's gravesite the day after the Red Sox won the World Series, there was definitely some of that.
Okay, I can see that.
To one-up that, I will say the morning of the Super Bowl this past year, I saw videos from Philly where people were at their grandparents' gravesites tailgating. And they had brought, like, they were tailgating with their dead relatives. I remember walking into the stadium in Arizona being sent these videos.
Wait a minute. Can you imagine, like, driving by a cemetery and seeing, like, an RV parked in the middle of it and just, like, a half dozen people hanging out?
Philadelphia. But that's also part of why I'm weary about Philly. Like, there's already this established fan subculture. And then to be able to fit in, I would have to be so extra beyond what I am now. And so I think that there's a little bit of pressure there to be.
There's a high barrier to entry to be a fanatical Eagles fan, I think.
Yeah.
I also think Philly is a very strong 4-for-4 kind of city. And I know there are others on the list. I'm not saying that's exclusive to Philly, but I think it is particular there, where it's like the diehard Eagles fans tend to be also diehard Sixers, Phillies fans. It's not an easy city to sort of pick and choose one team a la carte and have other interests. It feels like everyone's very much dialed into all of the teams. I know there are other 4-for-4 cities. People are probably listening to this saying, our city's like that too. But it feels like some very passionate fans, as I know. And I think it would be a tough place to just sort of hop in as just an Eagles fan.
It would. Anybody else have a candidate to bump up from maybe teams?
So we're moving the Vikings up, right?
We're moving the Vikings up. Okay. I'm going to have to, the Kevin O'Connell thing is a me issue. I'm going to have to get over that.
Okay, so the Jaguars and Lions are too obvious. The Giants, historic franchise Bears, same thing, right? Commanders, we talked about that.
I'm interested in your reasoning for the the finalists, because some of these are a little surprising knowing the teams we have not hit on yet. And so I'm wondering if when you give us your reasons, I will be left with more questions or if it will all sort of make sense to me.
All right. So do you want me to give you my nine finalists and I'll give you a little bit of a preamble here?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay. The Bengals. The Bengals are fairly obvious. Hot team. I feel like relatively humble franchise. Now, Joe Burrow has already taken off, but we have a little brief window here with the calf strain where I feel like we can shoehorn our way in here while he's recovering.
it seems like you're really bending yourself in a pretzel on that one. I think this is like the Chiefs. Like, I think the Bengals are already the moving train.
But I will say this. I have ingratiated myself with the city of Cincinnati. I was the Bengals reporter en route to the Super Bowl, spent a lot of time in bars out there. One of my best friends in the world, Joe Meyer, lives out in Cincinnati. And so I almost lived in Cincinnati. So I feel like that's something that I can kind of claim. Like, I kind of knew where I wanted to go. And if I was going to move there and cover the Bengals at one point in a very young stage of my career, I did the cover SI cover on Joe Burrow. So I feel like there's some history there. I feel like I love their fans. I have not met a fan of theirs that makes me, angry inside. I thought they handled the Super Bowl run incredibly well. And I went on their big radio station before the season, cause I pick all 272 games, and I'd picked Cincinnati to win four games the year that they made the Super Bowl. And I was so mad at the host for questioning my reasoning that I almost flipped out and hung up. I just kept yelling, show me more than four wins on that schedule. Find me more than four wins on this schedule. And I think they won, what, 10 games that year, and then made it to the
Bengals
Super Bowl.
Fan base is interesting too. As somebody who like went to school there, like, people in Columbus called it Cincitucky, and it's very different from Cleveland. So, like, the fan base is, there's a very, like, parochial Catholic, like, that's, like, the Ohio part. And then you go across the river, and it's very, there's a difference. You know what I mean?
It's like the Giants, right? You have the nice part of New Jersey Giants fans, and then you have the Staten Island Giants fans, and you're just like, oh, God, that's, like, a whole different group of people, which is fine. I think every group is sort of split in that way, but I haven't met, you know, they just seem like really good beer and chicken wing people, and I'm okay with that.
This pick is growing on me since I saw it on the list at first. You hit on a big thing, which I'm surprised we haven't even talked about until now, which is friends who root for the team, because we all know being a fan of a team, the community is such a big part of it. And so having a friend who already roots for the team is helpful. You know, hopefully you're prepared for that person to become your best friend if you're then texting them Bengals thoughts every week throughout the season.
Yeah.
But I like the story of, you know, the again, I'm going to keep using the Jaguars because similar, you know, young hotshot quarterback who's going to be there forever. The Jaguars, you would be sort of a stranger hopping on now. Whereas the Bengals, I like this idea of, you know, Connor covered the team and he fell in love with this team and fan base. Because I remember you wrote some great stories on Cincy's run, the guy on the roof of his building or the billboard or whatever and the bars. You wrote a lot. You really spent a lot of time in that city. And I think it would be different if they were coming off a Super Bowl appearance or if they had won it. But they've got this awesome, fun rivalry with the Chiefs where you're going to have this great rivalry between Burrow and Mahomes for a while. You've got this team that you covered, an easy trip. I think this is kind of a cool story. I like this.
You know what? Like, I do think the personal connection is important too. And what Mitch hit on, which is the community, is important. Like, I know I root for one football team. You guys know who that is. It's not
Michigan.
An NFL team. It's my alma mater. Yeah. And like, such a big part of my experience rooting for Ohio State is sitting there texting with my college friends while games are going on, firing everybody, you know, and like benching everybody, firing everybody. This is wrong. That's wrong. And like, I think that's such a huge part of the experience for me, is like, it would not feel the same if I didn't have that community. So that's something we probably should have had like down on the list to begin with, Connor, right? Like, just... Yeah. If there's an established community that you're already a part of, like, then that's definitely a plus.
No doubt. Next on my list, the Colts. Indianapolis. Some called me Mr. Indianapolis for a long time. I was back in my days in the Around the NFL podcast. I was really just sort of glorifying the city, had all my favorite places. Dan Handis and I would eat our way through the town of Indianapolis happily. And so I love Indianapolis. I love mostly everything about the city of Indianapolis. I can't imagine a Colts fan. I mean, you probably know obnoxious Colts fans. Can't imagine them being too obnoxious. And I love Anthony Richardson. I think
yeah, you'd be ground floor with Anthony Richardson.
I'd get in ground floor on Anthony Richardson, which I feel like is like at least a 7 or 8 year window of pretty spectacular play. Shane Steichen, who was our preseason assistant coach of the year last year and got to do a big story on Shane. I think there's a lot to like there. And that's a very easy trip from New Jersey to Indianapolis.
So just thinking about Connor grudges, you were very hard on this franchise last year for firing Frank Reich and bringing in Jeff Saturday. And how would you feel about every time Jim Irsay sends a tweet, all of a sudden this is your team that he's talking about? How would you feel about hopping on the on that franchise bandwagon?
Irsay, Jim Irsay's likable, though.
I do So Irsay's got the grandpa energy, I feel like, where it's just like, I don't know how old is Jim? Do we know? Is he in his late 70s?
Is he in his 70s? Is he that old?
It's
the magic of Google, as we can find out right now.
You know what? Keep it rolling. No offense, Jim. Let's see.
So speaking of grudges held, he's 64.
Sorry, Jim.
Nice, Connor. Good work.
Yikes.
What did you say, late 70s? Awesome.
All right. Let me tell.
Should they come off the list now, Jim?
Jim, just so you don't think it's just you, okay? I'm 35. I just got done reporting a story a couple weeks ago with Richard Johnson, who is our very talented college football writer who you guys should check out. And I said to him, I was like, oh, next week is my 35th birthday. And he goes, for real? And I said, yeah. And he goes, that's awesome, dude. He said, I thought there was no way you were under 40. He's like, I just thought there was no shot. And so it's not just you, Jim. I think there's some people that just have a hard time gauging how old.
So that's great. Let me ask you
late,
this, though.
Late 70s is tough. I thought, sorry.
All right, Connor, I hate to take a dump in the punch bowl here, but what are your thoughts on Peyton Manning?
Oh, no.
Yeah. You can't be a Colts fan. You just can't. We got to cross them off.
You cannot have the feelings that you feel about the greatest player in the history of the franchise that you're rooting for.
That's true.
That's a no-go, right? Isn't that an automatic disqualifier?
I'm the country's leading Manning conspiracy theorist.
I'm imagining Connor deciding he's a big Colts fan, flying his kids to Indy, showing up at the tailgates, wearing the jerseys, surrounded by everybody in Peyton Manning jerseys. Just, I made a mistake here.
I thought that guy played for the Broncos. God damn it.
I'm
sorry, dude, but I think...
That's a great.
It should have been
point.
Way easier than. I mean, I'm a little disappointed we didn't sniff that one out faster.
Fair. Next on the list, Falcons. I think this could be gangbusters.
This is a good one.
I like Arthur Smith because he's got that everyman aesthetic, and when he gets angry,
I mean, shoot, you could jump on board just for the mustache.
Yes, and when he gets angry at press conferences, he gets angry at a speed and at a volume and at a level of passive aggression that I do. And so I feel like I've got a little bit of a kinship there. And that team is just going to be fun. Like, yeah. Now
he hasn't told me this, but I'm also not convinced that he didn't grow that mustache. It's like a clap back to Vrabel's mustache from a couple years ago, which would make me respect it even more.
That's solid.
And at one point he had like what looked like mutton chops, which I know was intentional also. So, like, I just think that there's a lot there.
There's a lot there. My one concern would be, will Bijan last long enough to be one of those kind of players for my kids to root for. And Desmond Ridder, look, I would love it if I, if we were Falcons fans and Desmond Ridder takes off, I'll pretend, I'll tell my kids he's Tom Brady. I'll be like, Desmond Ridder was the ultimate underdog story. One of the last quarterbacks taken in the draft and rose from prominence. And I'll just pretend Desmond Ridder's Tom
wrong?
Brady.
Am I wrong to think like Desmond Ridder being there kind of gives you two shots at it? Right? Because if it works out, then you were in on Desmond Ridder. No one else was. Or it doesn't work out, and then you get a fresh start with a new franchise quarterback in the next year or two.
Yeah. No, I think there's a lot to like about this team.
So it's almost like you get two swings at it, right?
You get two swings at it.
And two clean swings.
And the uniforms are great. The color combinations are great.
The uniforms are not great.
The
current uniforms are not great. They will not be around for long. Mark my words. They're going to
be. Yeah, that might be like when the Browns, like, only wore those weird uniforms for the minimum.
Yes.
Remember? And the Jaguars did the same. Like, remember there's like the
two-tone helmets that the Jaguars had were the worst. The like gold.
The gradient. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like that was like the thing. Like those were those two teams, because the minimum you can wear a uniform for is 5 years. And that's how you can tell how bad a team effed up their uniforms is when they're only 5 years. I think the Falcons might be in a 5 year period here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They should go back to the Deion Sanders uniforms. And why the hell not?
I think they will. I think they will. And that'll be fun, too, just to be on board with that. I feel like there's not an entrenched Falcons history, really.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's an okay time to get in on that. And very easy travel hub. Mm-hmm. Newark to Atlanta is not a difficult flight. Next on my list is the Panthers. I don't know why I put them this high. I've had a pretty contentious past with the Panthers fan base. During their Super Bowl run, some Panthers fans on Reddit noticed that I'd picked them to lose each of the first 4 weeks of the season, when that year that they went 15-1. And so I picked them to lose. And this was back when I was at NFL Network and we had the picks sponsored by, like, it was a big thing, the staff picks. God, they were sponsored by Fidelity, I want to say. There was like some sort of investment tie in with the picks, and so it showed, like, it had the pick history and everything. And so by week 11, like, it started to become a thing where it was like Connor has picked the Panthers to lose every single week. Then the week that they lost, I made a big deal out of it, and then because I got it right, haha. And then in the Super Bowl, because me and the fans were jawing at each other back and forth, I picked them to win. And they were horrified. I picked them to win by like three touchdowns. And they were like, no, stop. And even to the point where legendary NFL analyst Gil Brandt, who I didn't even know knew who I was, came up to my desk at the NFL media satellite office at the Super Bowl. And he's like, what the hell's going on with your Super Bowl pick? So I have a contentious past with Carolina. New future, though. Just did the cover story on Bryce Young. Met him. Impressive young guy. Easy place. You could drive or fly to North Carolina from my house in New Jersey. You get to stop at South of the Border on the way if you want to go. The best truck stop in America on 95.
South of the Border.
We're a Bojangles family when we get a chance to go. And so, you know,
Good colors. I've heard Cookout is also really good, which is down there. I've never been there, but it sounds like a really good concept.
Yes.
I think Cookout's down there, too.
Well, so,
Connor, I first became aware of your work when you were at NFL Media. And so on behalf of fans of the Around the NFL podcast, I'm going to have to make you just say it once, Connor.
Keep pounding. So Panthers are up there. I'm going to, you know, I'm just going to leave that there. This next one, I think anybody who follows me on Twitter knows I'm particularly excited about, and that is pulling a total switch from CDs to vinyl, back to CDs, back to cassette tapes, and just go New England Patriots post Tom Brady. Just jump right in. Now, talk about a wholesome franchise with no suspicious past, no shady characters, no history of wrongdoing. No douchey fans. Like, this is a really this is such a safe
thing. I was sort of wondering why they were here, to be honest with you. Like, I was just like,
it feels like a bit, but it's not a bit. I am on this show to talk you out of this. because I think this would be an indefensible decision on your part, and I am worried.
Which means you have to do it. Which means you have to do it.
So my issues are myriad with the Patriots. They almost check none of the boxes. This is like an episode of House Hunters where it's like, yeah, I want a 2-bedroom, 1-bath.
There's no players with staying power. Proximity to New Jersey's good. Not really wholesome.
I mean, Mitch,
there are grudges.
Mitch, you, so I think you and I were there grudges. The other day, and there was a person proudly just peacocking around in his Aaron Hernandez jersey. So this is sort of, you know, this is where we're at.
I knew this was coming. So yeah. So and I live in Boston, and Connor came up for his a quick training camp stop, and so I met you for the day out there. And we went to practice. We had a lovely lunch at Patriot Place. Connor, this is, I mean, you talk, and I know Albert can talk about the old days, but like a franchise that's wrapped up in its history, if they win a Super Bowl, none of them are going to buy t-shirts that say Super Bowl champs. They're all going to buy shirts that say 7 rings. We have the most. We're the best team ever. It'll be impossible for you to just celebrate a championship with your new team without that team trying to rub it in everyone's face that they are the team with all the championships and that they've been the best team for the last 20 years.
I mean, what Mitch is trying to say is the Patriots fan base is the Eagles fan base with championships.
That doesn't offend me.
No, I'm not saying I shouldn't offend you, but I think that's just what it is. Like the Eagle, like the way the Eagles fans would be stomping around if they had won a ton of championships. Yeah. Is exactly the way the fan base here
I think that's fair.
What kind of merit is there, though, to just becoming the poster child for the post-Brady Patriots fandom? And I will say this. I am probably the biggest just, like, pure fan of Belichick. And so, you know, let's say they turn it around this year. He regenerates his career, gets a little extension. It would be fun for my kids to know Bill Belichick the way, and I'm not saying I know him personally, but just the way I know him.
Oh, from an appreciation for the history for the game, that would be the plus, right? Like, because that would give you a window to have your kids appreciate the sport. Like,
through Bill Belichick's eyes is the rest of the NFL, right? And so you could get down that wormhole. And I don't know.
And there would be like a Shawn Michaels super kicking Marty Jannetty and throwing him through the barbershop element to it too when you announced it.
Right?
Like you're the wrestling heel now.
I think you want to make a long term decision. And so Bill Belichick is not a good enough reason. Like I think we're picking a team for life, right? We're not just picking a team you're gonna like for the next 2 years. I think Bill Belichick, I mean, there are talks about him being on the hot seat or being out after this year, or even if he, you know, stays long enough to break the record, he's not going to be there for 10 more years. I don't think maybe he will be, but, you know, odds are he's not. I think you want to pick the reason should at least be a long-term thing. I mean, Albert talks about it with the Falcons where you might get Ritter, you might get the next QB or the Vikings, a team that could be like landing their future quarterback of the future at some point. I think to pick based on Belichick being there when he could be gone and a year or two is a mistake.
So the Patriots, you know, what I like about it is, I don't know if you guys have ever seen House Hunters, but, you know, everyone goes into it saying, you know, I want a 2-bedroom colonial on a quiet street with, in a good school district. And then like the third house is just like, here's a house in the middle of an active volcano. And the people are just like, yes, it checks none of my boxes, but this is absolutely perfect. The Patriots are that for me. It's just my total wild card thing. I think I would just love, because here's what's fun for me, right? It would be fun to be the poster child of the post-Brady Patriots fandom, and I feel like I could get like an acronym, I could get a t-shirt, I could start a very anti-Brady segment of the Patriots fan base. I could turn them against the greatest player in franchise history.
This feels similar to the Colts conversation with Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Like that's what I was going to ask.
I like Brady better than I like Peyton Manning though.
Okay.
And I also stopped eating strawberries because of Tom Brady, but so I could, you know, I could kind of work my own magic with that fan base. And then I could also, you know, there could be nights where I'm with a Patriots fan who doesn't know how long I've been a Patriots fan, and we could just talk about how great it was to win the 6 rings with Tommy, and I love the Departed, and you know,
you just use the phrase "work your magic." I don't think you're going to work your magic with that fan base. I think that fan base is set on its path. They have their opinions about that team.
I read the Boston Herald every day, and I work at the gravel pit, but I secretly rob banks.
I got so many pet peeves about that stupid movie.
You guys don't even know I'm a hockey player with a heart of gold. Let's do it. All right. Patriots, team to beat. Next on my list is the Raiders. I think this one's going to be pretty quick. I just like them because their owner is a complete wild card. And no one ever knows what Mark Davis is thinking about anything. And I just think that there's something fun and enjoyable about that.
And the cool starter jacket factor.
Very cool colors. Long history of ineptitude. Very easy in as a fan. Flights to Vegas are not only cheap, but pretty easy from anywhere in the country. Plenty of places to stay. Good, wholesome outing for my young children to be walking around the Las Vegas Strip in the 200-degree heat. So all that, I think, is a major, major plus.
This, to me, feels sort of like some of the other legacy teams we've talked about. I think this is a fan base that is very proud of its franchise history. And I know it's interesting with all the moves they've had, but I still think there's so much of that Raiders, it gets passed down, and you love this team. This one, I'm surprised this is in your list of finalists. It feels a little bandwagon-y.
Okay, that's fair. Ravens next on my list. Here's a team that, yes, has 2 Super Bowls, but maybe is not, you know, they've only been around since 1996. In a way, right, leaving the Browns for the Ravens would be a sort of a historical middle finger.
That's what I was going to say first.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's tough.
And that would be so.
That'd be like you're like the Art Modella fans.
Yes. And I don't hate that. I like John Harbaugh. I like special teams coaches who climbed the ladder. And Lamar's great. Lamar's awesome. Lamar's very fun. I think all of that combines into a very...
Proximity is good.
Proximity is very good. 2-hour train ride.
Uniforms are good. I like the purple.
Uniforms are good.
This was a top contender for you, for me, which is a funny way to phrase that. You and I have talked a lot about Baltimore over the years, and I know you've been high on them. I'm also very high on them. I just think it's a very well-run organization, and I think they often know what they're doing. And it's not a team, I don't think you have to worry about them going into a period where they're going to be 3-14 for a bunch of years in a row. I think this is a really great team, a good color scheme, the young star player, good coach, proximity. I think this really checks a lot of boxes for you, minus if you can get past the Browns thing, which is a little bit interesting. But I think this hits every box that I had for you.
So, like, that's the thing is, like, so my friends from Cleveland, when I was in school there, the Browns were gone. When I first got there, the Browns didn't exist. And, like, Browns fans hate the Steelers. The Ravens are almost triggering to them. You know, like, it's like the hatred might be deeper of the Steelers, but there's something about the Ravens that just pisses them off. And so you'd have to be comfortable with that, Connor. Like, the idea that they are... The Ravens, to me, like for a Browns fan, the Ravens are almost representative. Mm. And I think this is before your Browns fandom, as you pointed out. The Ravens are representative of a very, very dark time there.
Connor was not a fan of the old Browns. He picked up with the new Browns. So he never had love for the organization that became the Ravens. I don't know if that makes it different.
But I still think that's sort of what you're embodying if you do that. You know what I mean? Like, you're still sort of like... You're embracing that.
I know. You're only making it seem more attractive.
Can I just say 2 words? Ork Modell.
Ah, well, hey, Ravens linebackers coach, and I think future defensive coordinator, Zach Orr. We got another Orr out there. Yeah,
that's right. Same.
Just something to look out for.
I'm writing them down. I have my list of the contenders on your contenders list, and I'm writing them down.
Okay. My last two are Seahawks and Titans. Titans is purely a Vrabel thing. I just like Mike Vrabel. I think Mike Vrabel mm-hmm. is going to be there forever. I think he'd be a fun person to yep. have, like to build a team around.
They're never going to be bad with Mike Vrabel as coach.
And do you want to know a fun fact about Mike Vrabel?
Sure,
People don't know. Mike Vrabel is an excellent tipper, which I found out the other day. He's an excellent tipper. So that goes a long way. I used to be in the service industry. So
I like that. Yeah.
New stadium coming. That'll make it a fun stadium. Trip to
great city.
Great city. Not too far away from you. Easy flight to go watch. Think about if you're taking your kids to one game a year in this beautiful stadium in a new city. That could be cool.
Although if you don't like New Orleans, you don't. How do you like Nashville?
I like the Franklin area. Another one of my best friends from high school lives there. And so that's always fun. Like whenever I get a Titans game, that's cool. I get to stay at his house and we get to. And my favorite hotel in America is in Tennessee.
I like the Seahawks.
The Union
here.
Station Marriott.
Oh, the Union Station Marriott's awesome. Unbelievable. We stayed there for me and Emily stayed there for our anniversary once. Fantastic. I kind of like the Seahawks, Connor. The throwbacks. I mean, maybe it's the throwbacks, right? Which are gorgeous.
Pete Carroll checks a box as sort of an old head coach, an outlier.
I think they're going to be really good. I think that they have like this young group of players. Their rookie class last year was outstanding. I don't think enough people pay attention to that because the best players were corners and tackles. And now they've got another rookie class that looks like it's going to be really good, you know, with Devin Witherspoon and Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Derek Hall and those guys. I think it's a very competent franchise, and like it's either going to be in the hands of the Allen family or it's going to be sold to someone like Jeff Bezos. And I just think there's a stability there. It's an awesome city too. I love Seattle. The problem is proximity. So you have to be comfortable with proximity.
Nothing wholesome about Jeff Bezos. So that's good.
franchise quarterback missing that box too.
Right. Yeah.
You're right. Good young players. A great young core. Absolutely.
But a nice opportunity.
I think Gino's good for now though. And Gino gives
nice opportunity to teach my kids about second chances.
Yeah.
Or third chances.
Yeah. And again, I talked earlier about, you know, this is a decision for the long haul. So even in my mind, I am weighing things like trajectory, like you said, entry point is a good way to put it of, you know, when you tell this story for the rest of your life, why you picked the team, why did you pick it when you picked them? To me, that's more important than just one specific player. They have this one young player. I think sort of the trajectory of the franchise matters more than even, say, Pete Carroll being there. But yeah, I like their current uniforms too. Albert brought up the throwbacks. I like them. I feel like maybe it's cliche because maybe 5-10 years ago, they were really cool uniforms, and then other teams sort of moved on to styles like them. But I still think it holds up. I still like their aesthetics. I think still do it for me.
And like the games themselves would like just because of the atmosphere there would be awesome to go to. I know like again like the problems are hard to get to because they're far away from you, but like the atmosphere in that stadium is phenomenal, and I do think like it's a new enough team. And we're talking like 1976, where like it's a fan base you could assimilate into, you know?
Yeah. I've done the walk from my hotel to the stadium with Seahawks fans before. I enjoy the, you know, the whole Pike's Market area. Space Needle is overrated, but we'd find other stuff to do with the kids if we went out there, right?
Yep. I think it's a great area of the country. Like, honestly, I love going out there. So summer in Seattle is like one of the best trips in the country to take.
All right. So you guys are my consulting firm here. Let's really narrow it down. What do we say? Should I sleep on it? And then the next podcast, should I reveal it? Should I sleep on it for 10 minutes and then come back? What do you think we should do here?
Yeah, why don't we have like an intermission here, an undetermined intermission, and then we'll pop back on when you're ready to make your call.
Yeah, okay. Sit with it, sit with our thoughts. We don't want to push you into anything before you're ready. But I think I've got a few candidates, and I think we can come back soon and finish this up.
Do we know it's not going to be the Colts because of Peyton Manning?
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm not joking. I mean, I slept on this. I'm taking this as seriously.
It's a big decision.
Yeah.
This is going to affect your kids.
It's Wednesday. Yeah. That's like a podcast trick, is to pretend you took a break. And then it's like 5 seconds later. But no, we slept on this. I thought about it too. I actually thought about this more than I thought I would. So I can only imagine what your night was like, Connor, thinking about what this, you know, it's a big decision, like Albert said.
Connor, how do you want to do this? Do you want us to guess and see if we get it right?
Well, did you arrive at a team, or are we still sort of talking contenders?
I have three finalists, 3 to 4 finalists, and I would like you guys to help me eliminate them, if that's okay. I have a soft decision in the back of my mind, but it's kind of like on The Bachelorette when she goes home and then the family also kind of is like, yeah, we mm-hmm. like the helicopter pilot. Like I want, in this situation, you guys are Mr. and Mrs. Hannah B, and I need that little push across the finish line.
Is one the Bengals?
Yes.
Good. Good. That was the one that I just had that in my head, that you were, the way you were talking about them yesterday, it just made me think like they're at the very least in serious consideration.
Yeah. And I was going to ask whether the teams are the same as what you thought they would be when we started this exercise, or how much you were moved by the conversation we had yesterday.
I think you guys moved a team into the finals and you illuminated my reasons to love another team, and then there was the team that I carried in the back of my heart into this exercise. So I think it was a very valuable thing that we ended up doing. I think it's a good thing.
I think that was cryptic enough. Maybe you should just share. It's up to you if you want to just share the teams, or if you want us to guess or pick or offer our tops. You're the boss here, Connor. You tell us how to do it.
So the finalists are the Bengals, the Ravens, the Falcons, and the Patriots. And, you know, I think like any bachelor, you know, there is the obvious candidate that everybody at home loves. There is the sort of wild child with the sordid past. There is the, you know, guy who's going to offer a lot of stability. Looks like he's got some money in his pocket. And then there's the one that no one can understand why it's there, because you know, the person is whatever, flagrant and burps and, you know, is mean to the other contestants. So that's where I'm at. I can't shake the idea of loving being an anti-Brady Patriots fan. I mean, that fits into my contrarian milieu a little bit. But I feel like the Falcons, the Bengals, and the Ravens offer more to me as a fan over the long term. Two of those teams are in the AFC North, which gives me two chances a year to root against the Browns, which I think is important.
To me, like, the Ravens would be going full heel, like we talked about yesterday, right? That's, you become the Art Modell of fans.
Yes. If I had to be honest, I'm leaning towards Ravens and Bengals. I would like to be talked into one of those in particular.
Okay, so the moving train theory that we said was a negative, and I said to you, I'm like, I sort of think the Bengals have the Chiefs thing where they've already arrived, but the Ravens have too. The Ravens haven't just arrived, they've sort of been there forever, you know,
right,
as far as being a contender. So in both those cases, you are jumping onto a moving train. I do like the fact that you've got connections to Cincinnati.
And connections to Baltimore. I grew up an Orioles fan. A legitimate Orioles fan who was born in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So the Orioles were my local team.
I feel like at this point the Ravens would be less bandwagon-y.
Right?
Right?
I'm surprised we forgot to bring up the Orioles thing yesterday, because that is a big factor. Yeah. I know that I talked about sort of the 4-for-4 city loyalty. Those two stadiums are in the same parking lot. That's a beautiful little September weekend trip to catch an Orioles game at Camden Yards on Saturday and then a Ravens game on Sunday.
Ooh.
Do your kids like baseball at all? I mean, I don't know how much they care about or follow any sports, but have they shown any interest in baseball? Do you imagine passing? I mean, how strong is your Orioles fandom, and do you imagine passing that down?
Yeah, we watched the Adley Rutschman in the Home Run Derby together, and before that was when he hit the 26 home runs on both sides of the plate, and then I was like, you know, throwing my son up in the air. I was like, oh, holy shit, I can't believe that happened. And then he got beat then like 30 seconds later and got knocked out by someone who hit 27 home runs. Might have been, was it Vlad Jr.? I don't know who it was.
He won this year. I don't remember how the round by round I don't know how it shook out.
So the Inner Harbor is very special, and I guess it could make me a two, but, you know, it could make me a two for two fan. And then I was thinking, Mitch, I'm going to make you kind of my ambassador for Philly sports. Would you then, because I don't have a favorite NBA team either, would you open the door for me to become a 76ers basketball fan so that I kind of fit into that corridor and then I can kind of take on that whole identity? Or is it too late in the process to start respecting the process?
I was about to ask, pun intended or not. I thought it might have been. Well, deciding to be a Sixers fan might be the most miserable decision you could ever make in your life. You've missed a chaotic and eventful decade for my beloved basketball franchise, as I know I have filled you in on some. Here's my thing about fandom, and this I think this sort of meshes well with the conversation we had about picking up a team, because I had people asking me last year. So last year was a very exciting year in Philly, where the Phillies went to the World Series and the Eagles went to the Super Bowl, even though they both lost. But the Phillies run in particular, there were a lot of sort of new people arriving to the party because the Eagles have been good for a bunch of years. The Phillies were very good from 2007 to 11 and then had a long down period. And then they got good and people were asking me, hey, how do you feel about some of these bandwagon fans or casual fans who are now super into it? And what I explain to people is I have no problem with casual fans, bandwagon fans who, well, bandwagon has a negative connotation. I have no problem with casual fans suddenly being excited about the team. And if they're excited and it's genuine, then absolutely enjoy it. Be excited. Talk to your friends about it every day. That's all great. The only thing that rubs me the wrong way is when somebody sort of acts like it matters to them as much as it matters to you. It's just, it's different when you've suffered with a team for decades versus you just came along. But if you're respectful of that and you understand that difference, you know, Connor, if you became a Sixers fan and they went to the finals and you acted like you were there from the beginning, that would rub people the wrong way. But if you said, hey, I hopped on this team and now we're good, this is fun, that is defensible to me.
I think what you're getting at, like, so I sort of went through this because I grew up a Michigan fan and I'm like a triple legacy at Michigan, and I went to Ohio State. And when I first got there, I sort of felt maybe it wasn't wholehearted. You know what I mean? Like, and it was weird. And it was just, and then like over time it flipped, and it probably took a few years. Maybe the national championship year was the first where it was like, I felt like I was having a heart attack every week watching the games. And so it took a few years for me to really kind of be that into it where it was like affecting my mood on a week to week basis. And now it does affect my mood on a week to week basis, how they play. And so, like, I think what Mitch is talking about is that has to be organic, right?
So I think the determining factor for me in all of this is that there has to be some sort of an experience or a feeling tied to it. I love Baltimore. I love the Inner Harbor. That's one of the first dates that my wife and I went on, was down there for a weekend. That year that the Orioles made the playoffs, weirdly, in like 2011 with like J.J. Hardy and Chris Davis and Manny Machado. But I feel like emotionally the tug for the Bengals is slightly stronger. And is it weird to love the Orioles and then love the Bengals? And then do I become one of these strange, like, I drove past a house the other day when I went to go visit my in-laws, where the guy had a Boston Bruins flag, a Pittsburgh Steelers flag, Manchester United, and like the Toronto Blue Jays. And I was just like, what the hell is this guy all about. Do I become that guy? And is that weird?
It comes down to you. I mean, it's weird if you make it weird. I mean, if you start buying the flag, if you know, if you buy a flag that's joint Orioles, Bengals, I mean, you get the consistent black and orange color scheme color in your scheme. Life. You could, if you want to become a Philadelphia Flyers fan, you could.
Well, I think it's weird if there's like, if the two cities have multiple rivalries where, you know, like, I don't think Cincinnati and Baltimore have like multiple rivalries, right? Like Cincinnati and Cleveland have multiple rivalries. Boston and New York have multiple rivalries. New York and Philadelphia have multiple rivalries. So it'd be weird if Mitch was like a Knicks fan and an Eagles fan. That'd be a little weird, right?
It would be weird if I was an Eagles fan and then I bought the Washington Commanders. That would be strange.
See, well, one thing you're learning here,
or sorry,
Connor,
a Sixers fan, and then bought the Commanders.
Yeah. one thing you're learning here, Connor, like subtly, is that Mitch Goldich is not as excited about Josh Harris as DC is.
I botched my Josh Harris joke, but I think everyone got there. I actually think my sort of thesis of it's weird if you make it weird is the same as the argument for what kind of a fan are you going to be. And I don't think you are the type of person who's going to be leading the charge. Whichever team you pick, I don't think you're going to show up and act like you were the biggest fan from day one. I think you'll be honest about the way you came into this and the timeline and all of that stuff.
I think there was like a Simpsons episode on that, like where Homer all of a sudden became this huge fan of someone. I can't remember, but there was something along those lines.
I've been thinking, for whatever reason, as we go through this, one of the most important criteria for me has been, what will it be like when someone asks you why you're a fan of Team X? And just sort of thinking about you explaining it and how defensible is it? And I think that comes down to just thinking about, I love, you know, process over outcome with decision making. And so I'm just here to make sure you have a sound decision making process and one that holds up over time, so that not just today, but 5, 10, 20 years from now, when you explain why you picked the team, it makes sense.
So
getting back
to
the specific teams.
Let me give you my one-line summation then for each one, okay?
Yes.
And you tell me which one is more believable. Baltimore. I love Baltimore. I love the Inner Harbor. I've been to the Baltimore Aquarium like 15 times in my life. I always take my kids there. I love the Orioles. The city has a special place in my heart. I like special teams coaches. I like the Ravens from an analytical perspective. I think they're a smart team and thus a fun team to root for. Like Eric DaCosta will be there for a long time when my kids are getting older. I like the Bengals because I had a blast covering that team going up to the Super Bowl. The Joe Burrow cover story is one of my personal favorites. I think he's going to be around for a very long time. I think I got to know a lot of fans during that time. I have a best friend who's a Bengals fan. I find myself out there a decent amount of times. And the Bengals could come to the Bengals are going to play in Baltimore at least once a year. So I could be a fan of Baltimore and catch the Bengals in Baltimore once a year. So those would be my processes.
So I think the Ravens is cleaner. I think kind of getting at what Mitch was saying, I just think it's cleaner because like you're already picking an AFC North team. And if it's like you have these ties to Baltimore and then you're picking Cincinnati and now you were rooting for Cleveland, it's like you're trying to hit for the cycle here or something.
True.
You know what I mean? So I feel like it's cleaner with just picking the Ravens, right? Is that fair?
So is it okay if, you know, the first few times the Ravens and the Bengals play, I feel almost nothing, even though that's a heated rivalry? And is it also okay if in the back of my mind, I'm also rooting for Bill Belichick and the Patriots, because that's sort of the one that got away? That's the eccentric, long-haired Tarzan looking character in The Bachelor who like I could envision a wild life with together, but then it just ends up, you know, not making any sense.
I think that's almost like unavoidable though, isn't it? Like that, like there's going to be some of that, that push and pull, like the mixed feelings coming out of it, right?
For sure.
But I think you can always have other teams you like and appreciate in the short term. And, you know, I'm an Eagles fan. There are plenty of players. I mean, and listen, my rooting interests are often tied to where my money is tied up that week, gambling or fantasy or otherwise.
But Mitch there are certainly
other teams and players and quarterbacks or coaches I like and make me want to pull for, or honestly, a lot of times I end up just rooting for my predictions, even if I don't have money on them, just so that I can brag about being right. I just think Bill Belichick, that is a short-term reason to pick a team. And 5 years from now, you'll just feel silly that you picked a team in Bill Belichick's second to last season there or whatever.
When Gerard Mayo is the coach.
I think I had a Final Four for you last night that I was thinking about, which differed from the Final Four you came with today. I had Cincinnati and Baltimore, and then also Carolina and Tennessee. And I liked that as a group. And it feels to me, I mean, I asked you for the one, or you gave us the one sentence summation, and you mentioned Cincinnati and Baltimore. So I don't know if that means you're sort of behind on Atlanta and New England.
Yeah, I was wondering.
Left them out.
Yeah, has Atlanta been eliminated?
I'm talking myself into one of these two, and at this point, I think it's valuable for you guys to just hit me back now. Albert said Baltimore's cleaner summation. Mitch, what do you think?
So, looking at selling points, one thing I'd say, Baltimore was an outlier in my Final Four in that the other three teams had not won the Super Bowl before. Tennessee lost one a while ago. Carolina lost two. Cincinnati lost a couple a very long time ago and then one more recently, whereas Baltimore has two. And I do think it is fun to get in on the ground floor and be there for the first one.
I also think, though, then there's the element of there are people who've been waiting 40 or 50 years for it, and now you're like the new guy at the party. You know what I mean? Like,
whereas if it's true.
If it's like the third one, then it's like a little easier to celebrate with everybody.
That's fair. The one thing I would say on Burrow, and I think Albert keeps using the running train metaphor, I sort of drew a line between Burrow and Trevor Lawrence yesterday, whereas I feel like now would be a real bandwagon time to jump on Trevor Lawrence and say, this is my guy, I love this team I'm in. With Burrow, because of your personal history with the team and the player and that Super Bowl season, even though you hadn't formally picked them that year, I do think you could credibly say you were there for it. Like, I think that is you were there. You covered the team. You covered the run. You met all these people. You believed in them. You weren't really a Bengals fan, but you sort of got wrapped up in the Bengals mania that first year that they took a leap and got good. So I do think your personal connection helps you more with them than with some of the other franchises like Jacksonville and Buffalo that have those young star QBs who haven't won the Super Bowl yet.
Might accelerate the process, I think, is what Mitch is saying.
Yes, and I do feel like you're right. I mean, there's a difficulty between, Baltimore being like, okay, you know, you weren't here, and the Bengals saying you weren't here in different ways. But, man, I just think... Here's my thinking. I got a 5 and a 2.5-year-old. I feel like Burrow's probably going to be big in that window of when they first start coming into sports as like sentient people, right?
They pay attention.
I don't know. You know, Lamar's under a long-term contract, but he's older. Harbaugh. So I don't know. Is it silly to be hanging on to that part of Cincinnati and being like, I'm hoping that this guy's here because then my kids can just have like a quarterback that we know is going to be there for a while. And, you know, they're going to sign him to a million-year contract, it feels like. And that's just like a thing. It's going to be a good jersey to buy, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you have a choice between having two different cities and communities that you love and care about and feel a connection to versus strengthening your connection to one city and having even deeper ties and feeling even more connected to that. So I don't know. You've mentioned your one friend in Cincinnati. I don't know if you have friends in Baltimore, friends who are fans of Baltimore team, but I guess what sounds more appealing to you? The idea of having multiple cities where, hey, Connor's at home, I land in the airport, and this is one of my towns, or having a city where you know, you walk around and say, yeah, I love all the same teams you do.
I like it. The Charm City, the Queen City, it's all Connor City. It's all for me. It's all there. Okay. I think I got to go Bengals. I really do.
Okay.
I think I have to do it. I think I have to become a Bengals fan. I like everything about it. I think I can do this. I think the city will adopt me as a native Cincinnati, and I almost lived in Cincinnati, so I feel like that's a bonus. And I liked it. I was excited about it. So let's go party over the Rhine. Let's do it.
That's awesome.
Go Bengals.
I like this. I love this for you, Connor.
This is fun. Great.
You're going to get fun on that radio station.
Yeah. I know. I'm all right. This feels good. It's like, you know, it's like voting, and then you leave and you're like, was that a bad decision? I don't know. And I'll kind of think about it for a while, but I think this is good. I'm very
excited
about
this. Great
fight
song, too. Do you know the fight song?
No.
Hold on a second.
Oh, you have so much to learn.
We have to play it before we get off here. Hold on.
Good uniforms, too. I like the Bengal
the
Tiger
white helmet,
stripes and
the white helmet thing is good, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that's going to go over well with the kids.
And I feel like this is a good long-term decision for you. I feel like we're making this. I hope your Bengals fandom outlasts Joe Burrow, even if he's around for 15 more years. I think I'm hoping this is a real long-term marriage, Connor Orr and the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes.
All right, Connor, you ready for the fight song?
Play us out, Albert.
Here's the Bengal crawling. Mean and angry. Here he comes, the crawling. Mean and hungry. An offensive brute. One pass or boot. And defensively, he's top. Cincinnati Bengals. That's the team we're gonna cheer to victory. Touchdown Bengals. Get the points up on that board.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.